You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It is Browns Monday. We're reacting to the Browns' latest loss, and this loss included the loss of Deshaun Watson for the rest of the season, and maybe ever, as Deshaun Watson blew out his Achilles. He's now slated to have surgery, and across from me, as he is every single Monday at 4, it's JP, Jonathan Peterlin. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I like that you said maybe. You did the Denzel Ward thing today where you're like, hey, there could be a possibility that Deshaun comes back and plays. But nobody thinks that's reality, right?
You're implying the playing. I think there's a chance he comes back.
And what, like restocks the Gatorade cooler?
He's got to do something for that $50 million.
It would be funny
Maria, you might as well do something.
It'd be funny if they tried to get him to quit and in doing so just gave him the most menial and just awful tasks just to have him go away.
Like drawing up an offense for Kevin Stefanski? That feels pretty menial.
That might be on Kevin's turf. He might be like, no. That's my gig. Only Ken Dorsey gets to go ahead and do that.
Hey, Deshaun, we got a couple trash bags. We got a guy for that, but you know, you're here, and can you just go ahead and there's a dumpster out back. Don't worry about it. It'd really help us out if you go ahead and take care of that for us. Well, I think the question really becomes whether he's on the payroll or not, or how he's on the payroll. Because I think that's really what it is. I can't see a world in which that is the way Deshaun's season ends this year, knowing everything that came before it, and Deshaun plays for you again. That doesn't mean he might not be on the inactive roster, though.
You mean for this year? Or you mean
for next year.
For next year. You want him on the inactive roster just to hang out?
I don't want anything. There's nothing I want.
I mean, I basically thought we were just done with it. That was a cleansing of the palate. That was, and again, as many people that were cheering and applauding and doing everything else, I looked at it like, okay, I don't have to deal with that nonsense anymore.
Well, okay, but what does deal with it entail, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
I think we'll probably see what we saw last year, where when Flacco was the quarterback and Deshaun was in a suite in Los Angeles. I think it'll kind of be like that. Maybe he pops into a game or two, and maybe he does whatever he needs to do as far as being around the team to satisfy the contractual obligations of that. But I think they don't want him around either, right?
Well, no. For this year, yes. I think we're having two different conversations, because I was thinking about, well, I still think there's a chance that he's on the inactive roster like he was in Houston in 2021 next year. But yeah, I mean, I do think, and this is not about the cheering thing, which is something we can get to later. I do think that just not having to deal with that conversation anymore, I'm curious to see over the next couple of weeks how that manifests itself and whether you see a locker room that maybe plays a little bit more freer. I can understand why that didn't happen on Sunday, but I'd be very interested to see if the locker room maybe doesn't have that pressure on them. Maybe you see them play a little freer, especially on offense going forward.
Or maybe they just feel like they have a chance in these games.
Yeah, I don't know, because they had a chance on Sunday and it didn't change anything.
Yeah, no, DTR wasn't good.
Yeah.
Jameis was at the very end of the game.
How much stock can we put
into that? Why do you hate that? Why do you hate that drive so much?
I don't hate the drive. It was fun. It reminded me that you can't actually throw for more than 10 yards in a football game, and I forgot about that.
That was some of the best passes we've seen all season long, was in that drive.
It's prevent defense.
I mean, DTR was not good, though.
No. Oh, yeah. I'm not defending DTR. No.
DTR reminded me of Deshaun. With more interceptions.
And maybe more athletic on the ground.
The ground was fun. The ground game was fun. I liked watching him run around a
little
bit.
More of that. Less of the interceptions, I would say.
Less of the bad throws.
I think the whole DTR Jameis conversation for Sunday is just weird. I think the idea, like, if I don't know how much you followed some of the sound, but like during the game I heard them talking. I think it was Nathan and Andrew being like, apparently Ken Dorsey was going up to DTR on like Friday and be like, be ready. Be ready for anything. And DTR is like, for like what? Going to Chili's?
Well, what's so funny about it is that DTR, so last year he got surprised, right? He was like, oh, I didn't know I was going to start that game. And then Deshaun ended up not playing. And so I had to play. And I didn't find out till 10:30 on that Sunday. And he was like shocked that he would be thrown into the fire. And then it seems like somehow, some way, the same thing happened again. And he was so, I remember last year, Nick, he was so vocal about it. Like, after the game, he was basically just yelling about everything, being like, I didn't get the right opportunity. I didn't know that I was going in. And we just argued. We're like, well, you're the backup quarterback. Like, be ready at all times. And he's like, no, I didn't know I was starting. And he got mad about it. And then the same thing happened again today, or this last weekend.
I mean, in fairness, not to move goalposts here, he did look better against Cincinnati than he looked against Baltimore last year.
When did he know he was playing this game? It seems like a big point of contention. On Friday, I guess he was supposed to be told something like, hey, stay ready. But I guess they just told him, stay ready, and then left that at that.
Yeah, I mean, I say that all the time. I go to my kids like, stay ready.
Hey, stay ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, it could be you have to drive dad to the hospital because you're having a heart attack. It could be I want some Funyuns and you got to make a run down the road.
I like you getting your kids to play like Gran Turismo or something like that to be like, hey, prep, get ready in case you need to drive me to the hospital.
Yeah, or,
Cruising USA.
I kind of have them maybe
Dave and Buster's.
They play some Madden so they can go ahead and be ready to call plays on Sunday, on any given Sunday, just in case the Browns need it. Hey, got a 10-year-old, very spiffy, a lot of attitude. They'll get it done. Don't worry.
Very spiffy.
Like, can we all agree if Jameis plays in that game, they actually probably win that game?
You mean the one it was tight. It was a close game. By the time we got Deshaun injured and out of the game, what was it, 7-6?
It was a very close game.
With a couple minutes left in the half? I mean, like, you were right there.
That was right before. You were down because, remember, they had already scored.
Down 7-6.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I see. Math is hard for me.
That's okay.
But, and they got the Chubb touchdown, but then Toast Newsome got toasted by Jamar Chase.
Toast Newsome?
Yeah, it's 100%. I'm not calling him Greg anymore.
How mean was that?
That was super mean.
And Toast Newsome.
Because here's the problem.
That's better than Lemon Wall Lane.
My problem with Toast is that he got abused by Jamar Chase, and then Jamar Chase did the Iverson. He stepped over him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Greg went right to the officials like, come on, man. It's like, you got burnt. Like, just take the L. Take the L. The officials don't care.
Jerry Jeudy throwing helmets. We got Elijah Moore being benched for series. This was an all-timer of suck all the way around.
Kudos to the Browns for showing me time after time when I think, all right, I've seen almost everything you can see. Yesterday really did prove. Like, actually, if we really want to get to like what yesterday proved, it proves how much this just isn't on Deshaun. That's not a defense of Deshaun, because they're going to hear that and they're going to be, he's saying, no. More penalties, more bad passes, more convoluted concepts on the field. Like, even special teams, Dustin Hopkins bleeped the bed. There were way too many good returns. The one thing that I can tell you was really good from yesterday was the defense. And they, so you put any semblance of down the field passing with Jameis, even if you had just basically all you do is add big passes and even keep the interceptions that they had from DTR.
Sure.
If you put Jameis, same thing. He probably has twice the yardage of DTR and you probably win that game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll Alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
And no one can tell you. No one can tell you why it became DTR instead of Jameis. Here's Kevin Stefanski. I want to play this. This is Kevin Stefanski when he was asked earlier today on why DTR over Jameis versus Cincinnati.
Yeah, kind of like we talked about yesterday. I think going into the season, I felt like both guys were worthy of being the backup quarterback. I told those guys that early in the season. Felt like with not having that short yardage package with Jameis in this last game, felt like Dorian had acquitted himself well in practice and in his preparation to make him the backup. That's the story.
So it was just you didn't have the short yardage package. That was the difference between Jameis being the backup the previous 6 weeks in this?
I mean, did you think that Jameis... When I heard the news yesterday doing the pregame, I thought they were setting themselves up for like a Jameis Winston trade.
I kind of thought that too.
Isn't that kind of what a lot of us thought?
Yeah.
Like sitting there like, all right, so Jameis is going to be traded somewhere. They want to get DTR in there. And listen, they love DTR. They've always loved DTR. They were adamant as we watched him kind of not be good last year. And then they went out and got Joe Flacco because both DTR and PJ Walker couldn't do it. They came back this year and they kept telling you all preseason how much they love DTR, thought the world of DTR. I don't know. Maybe that's hogwash. Maybe it just is what it is. But I was convinced that they were going to throw DTR in there because they were getting rid of Jameis and he was going to be traded somewhere. Now what do you do?
So I thought it was either you have plans to trade Jameis or... it was time to bench Deshaun, and you knew you couldn't go to Jameis because you need to. This whole thing is about selling hope. And that if you're going to bench Deshaun in game or if you're going to try something, it's easier to. Like, if Jameis plays well, you know what you're falling back on? All right. One, you're still probably not going to end up in the playoffs. Two, now you got to pay him. Whereas if DTR plays well, even if you don't make the playoffs, even if you just become competitive, now you can say we got a quarterback of the future and he's cost controlled for the next couple years.
It's a much better situation for the Browns if DTR is good. There's no denying that. No one can debate that. It just didn't seem like it was baked in any reality.
No.
Well, like nobody thought he was going to come in there and be awesome. Did anybody think that? There's no way you watched DTR last year and thought that he's got it.
I do tend to throw out the first exposure of a young quarterback. Unless it's just obscenely great or obscenely terrible. I thought there were a lot of glimmers once he came back in after PJ Walker got benched and then Deshaun got hurt again. I thought there were some things that were intriguing. But it's this concept of that they love him. That just doesn't... Yeah, you love every player.
Well, it's just what they got to say. What is their main goal?
Now?
Yeah. Are they trying to lose games or are they trying to go ahead and actually win games and sell hope like you mentioned? Because if they're trying to lose games, then you continue to throw DTR out there based off of what we saw this last week. If you're trying to win games, you do go with Jameis. Even though Jameis hasn't started more than 7 games in a season since before the pandemic, you still go with Jameis in that instance.
I don't know they know what the goal is.
Like, do you see the crossroads we have here? What exactly are they trying to do? And then conversely, Does Stefanski and Barry go against everyone else's wishes in this because they don't care if they have a draft pick that they can't use because they win 3 games all year and then get fired? Like, it might be in Stefanski's best interest to almost do the Flacco thing with Jameis, win a bunch of games, and then sell everyone in the hope that he knows what the hell he's doing with quarterbacks.
I think it sounds to me like you're trying to logic this.
Oh, we can't do that these days, right?
No, I don't. I think this organization has been bereft of logic. I think winning went out the window when Deshaun wasn't playing well. I think they've been a dog that's chasing their tail all season long. And my prediction is they're going to win just enough to be just outside the sweepstakes for a quarterback. And you either have to trade up or draft the 5th best quarterback in this. And I do not see them somehow piecing together some semblance of, hey, this is what it's about now and this is what it's about going forward, because quite frankly, the thing that failed them to get to 1-6 1-6 is leadership.
Well, that sounds like they're just waving the white flag and they're just, okay, I guess it didn't work out with Deshaun, and this is like, it almost seems like we put more thought into what they're going to do this upcoming week than they have.
Well, okay, because it's thought, and then it's getting everybody on the same page, and then it's leadership. And I don't think they're having all three of those things at the same time. 216-474-0092. Why was it DTR over Jameis? And we're being point blank here. If Jameis had been the backup on Sunday, do you think the result would have been different for the Cleveland Browns? I think it's tough to see Jameis as a professional quarterback, even against prevent defense, and not wonder if maybe he could have thrown your way into a couple scores. And with the way the defense is playing, that probably would have been enough to win on Sunday, even if it might not be enough to win this Sunday against Baltimore. More on that next on 92.3 The Fan.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.